This is Fantasy Lowdown with Patriots Today's Brian Lowe.
Hand off Adrian Peterson. And there he goes! Inside the 20! Touchdown!
Who to start and who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? Fantasy Lowdown, a weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Touchdown! Randy Moss! Another spectacular catch by this incredible football player.
And from all around the NFL.
Tomlinson finds a hole and he's on his way again. Is it four touchdowns?
Ask your fantasy questions. Hear from the experts.
We have our own in-house fantasy football geek, I mean guru, right here, Brian Lowe.
Let us be your weekly cheat sheet.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on
Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe.
And welcome into another edition of the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com. My name is Brian Lowe. Happy to be here with you. And happy that you've joined us for another edition of the Fantasy Lowdown, talking about the fantasy week ahead. We'll look back at the fantasy week behind us. And this one's an interesting week. Week 10 we're going into because on the one hand, we've got we finally have the final week of bye weeks. They go from week 3 to week 10 in the NFL, four teams each week. Causes all kinds of headaches for fantasy owners. Well, I've got this stud running back, but he's on his bye week. What's going to happen? I need to fill him in. Well, this is the final week. Four teams are on a bye this week. Cincinnati, Dallas, Tampa Bay, and Washington. We'll talk about ways that you might be able to fill in your holes from guys who are out of action this week. But then on the other hand, even though this is the last week of bye weeks, the new trick that we have to deal with is these Thursday night games. And starting tonight with Cleveland, Denver, each and every week, all the way, the rest of the way through the season. Of course, Thanksgiving, there are three games on Thursday. But what that means for fantasy owners is you've got to think ahead a little bit. By around this time, Thursday afternoon, you've got to start taking a peek at your lineup and make sure that if you have anyone on your roster from the two teams that are playing on any given Thursday night, that you make sure to put them in your lineup if that's what you want to do, or take them out of your lineup. Because, you know, if you have, say, Brady Quinn on your roster and you're on the fence about whether or not to start him this week, well, you only have a couple more hours to decide. And if you go ahead and pull the trigger and put him in your starting lineup, maybe you'll be happy when you go to bed tonight. Maybe you won't. And then if you keep him on your backups on your bench and he has an unbelievable week, then you'll be kicking yourself. But then again, you'll have him all the way down the stretch. So Thursday night games always add a new twist to the fantasy week. And, you know, we'd be happy to help you out here on the Fantasy Lowdown if you're wondering what to do in these final minutes here, final hours before the game tonight on whether or not to start, you know, any of the Denver running backs. That's a situation we'll get to. The Cleveland quarterback situation we'll get to. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We'd love to hear from you. This show is for you. We want to know what your thoughts are on who to start this week, who to sit, who's doing well. You can vent if you've had some troubles with certain players, guys who you thought would give you a good impact but have disappointed. We can get to all that. And also you can give us a call at 508-543-7482. But certainly the email address, webradio@patriots.com. That's the way to get in touch with us. We have a good hour coming up. We have a guest today, Eric Casilius of ESPN.com. He's on their fantasy staff, and he hosts the Fantasy Football Now. And we'll get his insight. Great guy to talk to, and he's got an interesting background as well. He was an attorney, actually, up until recently. He sort of had two gigs going, an attorney, and he was a radio show host on ESPN.com, but seems like he's now going full-time on the radio side, so might actually ask him about that, because that's an interesting background, and we'll get his fantasy thoughts on the week ahead. I've got all kinds of notes on just little storylines going on in the NFL that relate to fantasy, a handful of new quarterback situations that have fantasy implications, a handful of running back situations, some of which seem to be ongoing, some of which are new, and we'll get to that. Always frustrating when you've got these injuries and guys being benched. And then, you know, on Thursday afternoons, Wednesday and Thursday, you always get some injury news out of the NFL, and we've got a few storylines to get to. We'll even ask questions like, who is Peyton Hillis, and can you count on him from a fantasy perspective? Guy has 100 yards receiving last week. He's a running back from Denver, and you know, we're going to see him in action tonight. So all kinds of things to get to, and we definitely want to hear from you. Just a quick look back at week number 9 and some of the top fantasy performers at each of the positions, like we like to do each week. Starting with the quarterback position, a couple of guys who did throw 3 touchdown passes. Gus Frerotte, who threw 3 touchdown passes, didn't quite have 200 yards passing, though, and same can be said for Eli Manning, who had 3 touchdowns and only 147 yards passing. But a couple of guys who had massive games, well over 300 yards passing and a pair of touchdowns. Kurt Warner leading the way there, and Donovan McNabb as well. McNabb threw a pick, so you'd have to say Kurt Warner had the best outing as far as fantasy QBs, and a few others who threw for, you know, upwards of deep into the 200s and had a couple of touchdown passes. Peyton Manning against the Patriots, 254 yards and a pair of scores. Dan Orlovsky, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions as well. We'll get to the Detroit situation because all kinds of moving parts there, including Dante Culpepper. Joe Flacco, AFC Offensive Player of the Week, 248 yards passing and a pair of TDs. Matt Ryan threw for 2 as well. Jay Cutler, 300 yards and 2 picks, but he had the 3 interceptions. What is going on with that Denver offense? Tough to figure out. Ryan Fitzpatrick had a pair of touchdown passes, 162 yards on the day. Those 2 touchdown passes went to Chad Johnson, or Chad Ochocinco, depending on the week, I believe. But the Cincinnati offense is an interesting one. Could they be on the move? Could they have a bye this week, but between Ryan Fitzpatrick, Cedric Benson, who had 100 yards rushing, and Chad Johnson, who had 2 touchdowns, an interesting situation to look at right there. As far as running backs, none of the running backs had 2 touchdowns on the day, but a couple of big games. Adrian Peterson, week after week, he's a stud, 139 yards rushing and a score. And Brandon Jacobs, 117 yards and a score. Cedric Benson hit the 100-yard mark. Tim Hightower as well, both reaching the end zone as well. High yardage guys without touchdowns. Michael Turner, 139 yards. He didn't reach the end zone, though. Matt Forte as well, 126. And Ray Rice, 154 yards. He did not score, however. And Chris Johnson had a touchdown as part of an 89-yard day. I mentioned Peyton Hillis, running back for Denver. 7 catches, 116 yards and a touchdown. Interesting situation right there. You just never know at the running back position for Denver who is going to suit up, and still some moving parts. We'll talk about what they have in store for them tonight. Now, as far as wide receivers go, a handful of guys had more than 1 touchdown. Sort of interesting. The guys who had high yardage only had 1 touchdown or none, and the guys who had 2 touchdowns didn't really have a high yardage day. Michael Jenkins for Atlanta reached the end zone twice, only 64 yards. Anthony Gonzalez, we saw him with the Patriots, a pair of touchdowns and 55 yards. Chad Johnson, just mentioned him, 2 touchdowns and 37 yards. Derek Mason, 136 yards and a score. Donald Driver, exact same numbers, 136 and a score. Antonio Bryan for Tampa Bay, 115 and a score. Corn Robinson, Bernard Berrien, also in that category, reaching the 100-yard mark and also finding the end zone for their football teams and for their fantasy football teams. If you had them on your team, you were fairly happy. Corn Robinson sort of coming back from a couple years of being in and out of the mix. Now, tight ends, boy, oh boy, is it an interesting situation with tight ends this year. Owen Daniels, 11 receptions, 133 yards for Houston. He is an emerging target in that Houston offense. Keep him in mind if you're looking for fantasy tight ends. Hard to be able to get him right now, but maybe looking at next year. Brent Celek of Philadelphia, 6 receptions, 131 yards, and then some tight ends who reached the end zone. Derek Fine of Buffalo, Alex Smith, Kevin Boss, Vasante Shenko. So a couple of tight ends having big days, and maybe you had one of them on your team. Now, as I look at some of the news and notes in the NFL that have fantasy implications, I've been looking specifically at running back today. Some things are just sort of coming into view right now. Willie Parker of Pittsburgh seems to be limited to practice this week, which could, again, open the door for Mwaeldi Moore. And I have Mwaeldi Moore on one of my fantasy teams. I picked him up. I didn't have Willie Parker, but I was able to grab Mwaeldi Moore, and he has been a very pleasant surprise. He's filled in very admirably for Willie Parker, and Willie Parker owners have to be pretty frustrated at this point. Hard to get a good grasp on what his situation is going to be. Baltimore is a real interesting situation. Ray Rice having a huge game the other day. LaRon McClain, he's had some good touchdown games of late. And then there's Willis McGahee, who seems to be limited just about every week. You never know what's going to happen with him. And this is another week where actually all 3 running backs are dealing with injuries of some sort, which is going to be the guy that plays. It's only Thursday right now. We'll see. But you have to think that Ray Rice is sort of the flavor of the week in Baltimore at the running back position. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And certainly when Willis McGahee is 100%, you've got to figure that he'd be the go-to guy. But LaRon McClain getting some goal line carries, and they're very high on Ray Rice down there, it seems, the rookie out of Rutgers. We've talked about Denver, and Denver being in the spotlight right now because they play a football game in just a couple hours against Cleveland, that game in Cleveland. And with Denver's situation at running back, it looks like Ryan Terrain is going to start. Ryan Terrain, the rookie, he was on PUP. And, you know, they've had Selvin Young, Michael Pittman, Andre Hall, guys who have been hurt, guys who have fumbled, guys who've gone on IR. Looks like Selvin Young will be able to play tonight. If you're trying to make a final decision on the Denver running back position, if you have Ryan Terrain on your roster, he might be a guy you want to look to and slide him into your lineup. I certainly understand if you want to be cautious there because, you know, depending on who else you have on your roster, you just never know at a position like that. You don't want to hurt yourself on a Thursday this early by taking a risk on someone. But all signs point to Ryan Terrain getting some carries, getting the most carries for that team tonight with Selvin Young backing him up. Steven Jackson of St. Louis is another one. He missed practice, and actually, a quote from him, it will take something miraculous for him to play against the Jets on Sunday. He didn't play 2 weeks ago. He played last week, and Steven Jackson is definitely another guy who is frustrating fantasy owners, and if you're a Patriots fan, forgetting about fantasy right now, if Steven Jackson doesn't play against the Jets, well, you're not happy about that because Steven Jackson is quite the weapon for the Rams, and you wouldn't want the Jets to have any kind of advantage like that. But all signs point to Steven Jackson missing another game. So Travis Minor, Antonio Pittman, these are guys you're going to want to look out for if you need to scurry to pick someone up on the St. Louis team. Now with Carolina, Jonathan Stewart missed practice. He's got a heel injury. He's day-to-day, so that slides D'Angelo Williams up a notch, I'd say. If you're looking at the Carolina situation at running back, it's unbelievable in the NFL this year and in recent years, that it seems like there's an endless wave of new injuries and new moving parts at so many different positions or with so many different teams, specifically at the quarterback and running back position, and trying to figure out which running back on any given team is going to be the guy that week. It's just hard to figure. And here in New England, we're dealing with the same thing. The injury report for the Patriots, which came out just a little while ago, there was some promise with Lamont Jordan yesterday. He was back in practice. He missed practice today. Same with Sammy Morris. He hasn't been back out there. So we may be looking at another week of Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Kevin Faulk, and Heath Evans. Through 2 or 3 weeks of that trio being the only running backs on this team, you just don't know week to week. You just don't know which guy it's going to be. Ben Jarvis Greenell seems to be getting a lot of the carries, or at least he did the other day. The week before, he didn't get as many, but he did score a touchdown. Kevin Faulk being the all-purpose guy, you're definitely getting touches. He's definitely getting touches, and you definitely want to see what you can get out of him. If you have him in your lineup, you know he's going to touch the ball 12 to 14 yard times and maybe make something happen. So just so many of these running back situations that are tough, and quarterback situations too. We'll definitely get into this. We'll get into this with Eric Casilius in just a bit. But among those that we're looking at, Detroit. Is Dante Culpepper actually going to come out of retirement, sign on a Tuesday or a Monday or whatever it was, and start for the Lions this week? What a team in shambles. It may be him. It may be Drew Stanton. Hard to say. Looking at Chicago's quarterback situation, we hear on Sunday Kyle Orton's going to miss a month. Now it looks like he might actually play. Most likely Rex Grossman will be the starter for the Bears this Sunday, but very likely that Orton is a backup. So who do you go with there? It doesn't seem like Orton is a comfortable start, but could you pick up Rex Grossman and feel comfortable having him in your lineup? Hard to say. Looking at Pittsburgh, is Ben Roethlisberger going to be able to go? He's a tough quarterback. There's no question he wants to be out there, but maybe the safest backup could be Byron Leftwich. That's an interesting one. Dallas. Now, Dallas, you know, they're coming off their bye. They have their bye coming up this week. Coming up next week, is Tony Romo going to be ready to go? He says he is. That's another one. How about San Francisco? I'm actually high on Sean Hill, believe it or not. I liked what he did a little bit last year. You wouldn't know it, but he's actually in his seventh year in the NFL. I think he was in the class of 02, so he'd be in the seventh year in the NFL. He's got a little bit of experience as far as, you know, background in the NFL. He hasn't played a lot until last year. I kind of like the San Francisco Francisco 49ers as a surprise team this weekend, and Sean Hill specifically as a surprise player. And then Houston, Matt Schaub, he might even be out for the year. Is Sage Rosenfels a guy that you'd count on? So all these new quarterback situations, we had so many of them early on in the season, and all these new ones coming up now, definitely some topics we're going to get to as this show goes on. This is the Fantasy Lowdown. Web radio at Patriots.com is the way to get in touch with us. We're here until 5 o'clock, eager to hear from you. We're going to head to a break right now, and when we come back, Eric Casilius from ESPN.com will join us. Stay tuned.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower for my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you gonna love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. My name is Brian Lowe. And, you know, on the TV show that we do here, Patriots Today, which is on Patriots.com, I do a Fantasy Lowdown segment every week on Thursdays. And let me just say, I've been terrible this year. It's just been terrible. I do a guy to start, I do a guy to sit, and I do a sleeper. One of each week. And, you know, we do it on Wednesday or Thursday. It airs on Thursday. So it's not like I'm looking at Saturday or Sunday. I don't have the final, you know, inactives and all that to deal with. And I've just been terrible with that. But this past week, boy, did I go 3 for 3 for the first time. I said, start Matt Forte. Well, he gets over 100 yards. It was a good pick. I said, sit Jason Campbell. I said, you know what? They're playing Pittsburgh. I know Jason Campbell hasn't thrown an interception yet this year, but I think that's going to change against Pittsburgh. And sure enough, it did. Two interceptions he had and just an overall poor game. And then I said, go with, as a sleeper, Tim Hightower, the Arizona running back. What a sleeper he was. I just saw all the news about Edgerrin James being in the doghouse and And Tim Hightower, who had been getting a lot of, being a goal line guy and getting some touches there and getting some touchdowns. And there he goes. So allow me to just, brag for a second, because I've just been terrible. I think I've owned up to the fact that I've been terrible, but I was very excited to finally hit 3 for 3 there. Look, I'm sure it'll all change. And if you've been taking my advice on this show, God bless you. But, it just hasn't been a smooth ride for me. Hey, I'm not here to be the expert. I said that way, way back when we did the debut of this show. I'm no expert, not trying to be. Trying to help you out here. You can give me some insight too on fantasy. I'd be happy to take some of your thoughts as well. So as I said, we're gonna have Eric Casilius from ESPN.com joining us in just a bit. But in the meantime, we do have a few emails to get to. We always love getting your emails. Webradio@patriots.com. We have a few regulars who email in every week. We always have some new people, and we'd love to hear from you. And like I said at the beginning of the show, there's a football game in about 4 hours from now. And if you have anyone from the Denver Broncos or Cleveland Browns and you're on the fence about whether or not to start them, please, please, please email us, call us, 508-543-7482. We'd be happy to get to that. And one email in particular really actually does refer to tonight's game. Hey, B-Lo, it's an unfortunate situation. I have Tony Romo and Matt Schaub was my fill-in. Not going to help you there. Who do I claim and play this week? Brady Quinn versus Denver, Sean Hill at Arizona, or Sage Rosenfels versus Baltimore? This is from Todd in Nova Scotia. Well, tough break right there, because you set yourself up pretty well. Tony Romo and Matt Schaub, season begins or even through the first couple weeks of the season, Tony Romo, an elite fantasy QB. Matt Schaub, a capable fill-in. Not going to help you out much here in week 10. Tony Romo probably will be back next week. Matt Schaub, I have a feeling he won't be back at all. So Quinn versus Denver, Hill at Arizona, or Rosenfels versus Baltimore. I kind of like Brady Quinn tonight. I think this is the right situation for him to step into a weak Denver offense. Weak Denver defense. Cleveland will be at home. You know the crowd is going to be behind him. You've got to figure that the team is going to be sort of fired up, because I'm not in that locker room. I don't know what goes on with Cleveland. But I have a feeling that this is a guy they've rallied around and sort of realized that they could win with this guy. He's a good quarterback. Quarterbacks who really sit for their first year and come in the middle of the second year, they do kind of have that advantage. The pressure's off just a bit. So it is very interesting what Brady Quinn can do, and I do like him. Sean Hill at Arizona, though, is also a guy that I'm very interested to see, because he opened some eyes last year, I thought, and I think against Arizona he could definitely do well. I wouldn't go with Sage Rosenfels because of who they're playing against, and I'm not thrilled with that guy, but I would probably lean towards Brady Quinn and take my chances. It's either a good thing or a bad thing, I guess, Todd, that within about 6 or 7 hours you'll know if that's a good decision or not. I'd be curious to know who you thought about or who you were considering before you sent us your email and heard what I had to say. I'd go Quinn over Sean Hill in that situation and take my chances right there. And we do have some other emails we're going to get to, but for right now we do have a guest, Eric Casilius of ESPN.com, one of their fantasy football experts, is joining us. Eric, thank you very much for taking a few minutes of your time for us.
Hey, how are you guys? Nice to be with you.
Very, very good. How's your fantasy team doing this year?
Very, very well. I mean, the only thing that's been getting me this year is every about 5 or 6 years, you have that season where karma's just getting the best of you.
Oh, yeah.
You lose a couple of single-digit games, and it's a play here or a play there. Ernest Graham beat me on a 60-yard touchdown run in week 3 with no time left when no one's paying attention. I had Dominic Rhodes get stopped on the 1-inch line, and then Peyton Manning ran in. That cost me a game, but overall, pretty happy. Pretty happy.
Sure, and that might become soon will be called the DeSean Jackson factor, right? We had him early. That either helped you or hurt you. You either have Donovan McNabb, and you're looking at a big touchdown, or DeSean Jackson. So you always get a few of those. Just the way the ball bounces.
Seems like it's an Eagle every year. Last year, remember, it was Brian Westbrook.
Exactly.
When he kneeled at the 1 against the Cowboys,
right.
And that had people winning and losing entire leagues that single play.
Yeah, and I remember a couple weeks back when we had the DeSean Jackson situation, everyone saying, well, it all comes back around. McNabb is the beneficiary on one time, and he's not the other time, and you just never know on all that. Well, Eric, we've got the start of the Thursday night slate, and let's just get right away your thoughts on this game tonight, Cleveland and Denver, because a couple of really interesting fantasy implications, the Cleveland quarterback situation and the Denver running back situation. Can Brady Quinn be counted upon as a fantasy QB? We just had an emailer ask us if they should pick him up tonight.
I got to see it first.
Yep.
Before I'm ready to jump into the water and buy, especially because Denver couldn't stop me, you, and nine guys from accounting running the football.
That's right.
So I think Jamal Lewis will be huge tonight. Mm-hmm. I think that they're going to rely heavily on 31. Here's a good stat for you.
Yep.
Last year, no running back in the NFL had more carries inside the two-yard line than Jamal Lewis.
Interesting.
They talked about getting back to that this week, especially against a team like the Broncos, especially with a new quarterback starting. I mean, you know, he's a young guy that doesn't have a lot of game experience. So right now, I would be looking more for Jamal Lewis to have a huge night, and I would get him in the lineup if I had him. If he was normally a sit for me, I'd bump him up, you know, 10 or 12 spots on my board.
Well, it's a great point because, you know, even if you have a running back who doesn't pile up the yardage, but he gets a lot of carries in the red zone, especially inside the five, and you can get
He's
a couple of touchdowns. Absolutely. Now, the Denver running back position, year after year, as long as Mike Shanahan's the head coach, it frustrates fantasy owners all the time. You just don't know who's going to get the ball. But
he
the good...
He's giving us the proverbial middle finger as fantasy players every single week.
But the good thing is, if you ever do know which guy is going to touch the ball, he's probably going to get the stats. And could tonight be the Ryan Terrain debut?
Again, same thing. I got to see it.
I'm not
going to be a guy who goes down and gets burned trying to guess with Mike Shanahan.
That's right.
You know, by now we've all been warned. You know the old saying, you know, fool me once,
yep.
shame on you. You know, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you, whatever, however it goes. You know what I mean.
Of course.
The idea is, for Mike Shanahan, this is fool me 72 times. If he fools you 72 times, shame on you. You know what he's going to do, and that is he's going to do the unpredictable. So if you play that guy and expect 20 touches, well, you're guessing. Because if your guy gets three touches in the game and doesn't get the ball at the goal line, that could easily happen as well. So if you want to guess and play Russian roulette along with Mike Shanahan, go ahead. That's not ever something I advise, though, and it's not a good way and a foundation to build on a fantasy team.
Definitely a tough one there. Well, the Cleveland quarterback situation, the Denver running back situation, kind of highlight what has kind of been the theme as we've done this show today. All these different quarterback and running back situations in the league, and it just seems like this week has been one of the busiest. We've talked about the Detroit quarterback situation, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, all these guys who are stepping in. Let's start right there at the quarterback position. Of all these guys who seem like they might be getting into the mix this week for the first time, talking about a Drew Stanton possibly, maybe even a Dante Culpepper, Sean Hill, Sage Rosenfels, maybe Byron Leftwich, any one or two of those that you would feel most comfortable with if you needed a QB fill-in this week, if you had, say, a Tony Romo or a Jason Campbell?
I don't love his matchup, but at least Sage Rosenfels basically has a cartoon character. You know, the Incredible Hulk playing wide receiver for him.
Sure.
And Andre Johnson, who's been as hot as anybody. So at least I have that going for me. In Detroit, that's always nice, too, because you have Megatron. He scored 4 weeks in a row. That's also a nice little play. I mean, if I'm going to play with a new guy, there's two things I'm going to look at. One, I'm going to look at matchup, and two, I'm going to look at does he have a beast wide receiver that even if everybody knows he's going to get the ball, that he's still going to be able to make plays. And those two guys at least have the second half of that.
No, that's a great point, and you've got to look at the weapons around them. You can't just take take the player himself and how talented he is. I mean, if you look at a Sean Hill, who I kind of think is a guy who does have a chance to maybe open some eyes because he did last year, but, you know, the jury's still out on that offense as a whole and what Mike Singletary can do. But you're right. If you're Houston, Owen Daniels, 11 catches last week. You make a good point there on Sage Rosenfels.
I want to be playing against a bad pass defense.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going to make a decision, if there's guys in the waiver wire, I'm going to go to the NFL.com or ESPN.com, and I'm going to look up passing stats. I'm going to look at defensively the rankings on pass defense, and I'm going to try to find a player that's picking on one of those bottom five pass defense teams. And they're probably different than you think. For example, the Bears aren't very good against the pass, even though they're a pretty good team. You know, the Bengals are pretty decent against the pass, even though they're a lousy team.
It's not
necessarily the way you'd think it'd be. So check your stats. Make sure you get a team that's bad against the pass, and that's one you want a good matchup. And then two, if you're picking amongst a couple of different guys, you want a guy that has a weapon. For example, I'm telling everybody right now, go trade for Matt Castle. Matt Castle, if you're stuck at quarterback, is a great option. Because when you look down the stretch at the schedule, it's going to be great. And he's going to be much better in a month from now than he is right now. He's going to get Randy Moss involved, and he's going to make you a hero. If you're stuck at quarterback, that's the one guy I would be targeting to pluck off somebody's roster.
Very interesting. And that's very interesting that people here would want to hear. And I had that on my list of what I wanted to ask you, your thoughts on Matt Castle and the Patriots offense. So you're high
love
on
him.
Castle.
Love him.
Well, and you know, yeah, that's great to hear. And could they get the tight ends involved even?
You know, the problem is you don't even know which tight end, and it's not necessarily the same thing every week. I mean, I've been waiting for years for Ben Watson to break out. I mean, he's one of those guys that just teases you, and you look at me and you go, oh, here's the year. It's going to be Ben Watson here.
Yep.
And then he screws you. Oh, no, next year's going to be, and then he screws you. The only thing I'll say is we all said that about, if you're a fantasy baseball player, we all did that with David Ortiz. Everybody looked and said, David Ortiz is going to have a breakout year this year, when he's up in Minnesota, and he burned everybody, and then finally he became that guy.
Yeah.
We're all hoping that maybe Ben Watson can be that guy one of these years, but you know, we haven't seen it yet. And if he didn't do it in the 50-touchdown pass year of Tom Brady, can you really expect him to do it when they're probably going to throw for 24 or 25 touchdowns this year? No.
No, you're right. And as you mentioned, Castle, you know, down the stretch, they do play Seattle, which has one of the worst pass defenses. You know, Miami's is not very good. They've got Miami in a couple weeks and even the Jets. So that's a good point there.
Matt Castle will be much harder to trade for a month from today than he is today, so go get them now.
Absolutely. Now, going back to something you said earlier about the pass defenses, I'd like to ask you about San Diego, because San Diego is another team that, you know, is having a disappointing year. They're the worst pass defense in the NFL right now.
And they were the consensus number one defense coming
that's
in
right.
this year.
That's right. Now, could we see that change at all with Ron Rivera coming in? And I'm thinking specifically, I was intrigued a little bit at first about Tyler Thigpen, what he did last week and going against San Diego this week and, you know, going up against a terrible pass defense. But then I was hesitant because maybe that pass defense, maybe that defense as a whole gets a little rejuvenated. What do you make of the San Diego pass defense? And is the quarterback playing against San Diego an automatic in fantasy?
Here's the thing. I don't know. And you can't be afraid to say that in fantasy
right,
football.
Right.
Too many people always say, you're just gonna, you know, they're, I'm an expert, so I have to give you an opinion. Look, I don't know. That's the whole point with the San Diego defense. You don't know. They have talent. They've had a week off, and they got a new defensive coordinator, so you're thinking maybe they're going to turn it around. But they've been god-awful putrid for the first 2 months of the season. They can't stop anybody, and they just seem to be out of sync, and it's hard to make changes on the fly with new systems in season. So I'm not sure. I mean, if I had a slam dunk option, I would play that over somebody playing the San Diego defense. I don't think they're so bad that you can just simply pick on them no matter who you have at quarterback, because I think they are going to get better. But at the end of the day, I don't really know.
You're right. Right. I mentioned we talked a little bit about the QB situations. By the way, we're talking to Eric Casilius of ESPN.com. He hosts the Fantasy Football Now and Eric Casilius Show. And you have a chat every Friday, right, on ESPN.com?
Here's what I'll do for you. On the fantasy side, at 3 o'clock on Fridays, if you go to ESPN.com, we chat for an hour.
Yep.
And the one thing about that chat is I get the very latest injury update information. So we have a lot of people who have lineups that need to be in that aren't sure. We do a lot of, here's what this guy is, here's the percent he is, here's how likely he is to go. We get a lot of extra information that comes to us right before that chat.
It's a great chat. And everything on the ESPN.com page, especially looking at injury updates, I mean, it's a separate injury blog. And let's be honest, as you said, you just don't know with fantasy football. Well, a lot of the reasons why we just don't know is because of injuries. So if you can get the latest injury information, you know, that is huge right there.
And that's what we do on Sunday. If you go to Fantasy Football Now, at noon Eastern, so it's the hour right before you got to get your lineup in, we bring in all the best people. I mean, I have the best injury expert in the country. Her only job is to do injuries.
That's right.
She
it's great.
She comes on twice during the show. We hit every big injury. So a couple of weeks ago, we had, you know, everybody was, she was saying, no, Steven Jackson's not going to go. I'm telling you. All week she was saying it. Boom. He didn't go. She had been telling us on Thursday and Friday, you need to be making other plans. She's calling the team. She's getting the inside information. So we really do have, we're really on top of this with our experts on Sunday morning. If you want to come on by, again, ESPN.com, Fantasy Football.
It's great stuff. And And you mentioned Steven Jackson, by the way. I don't know if you saw this. I saw it just a little while ago. He actually said today it will take something miraculous for him to play on Sunday against the Jets. So you never know. Players say different things during the week, but that's another injury piece of injury news that we'll certainly be monitoring and checking on both Friday and Sunday. Wanted to ask
by the way, a very good schedule coming up for Steven Jackson. Same thing with Joseph Addai. Same thing with Tony Romo. Guys coming back from injuries who are not only going to get come back, but have very favorable schedules. Those are all good guys you want to go buy if you can right now on the cheap. If you're, 6-2 and definitely making the playoffs, those are guys that can help you. For example, the Colts in the fantasy playoffs are going to play home against Detroit and home against Cincinnati. So they're going to be huge. If you're getting the playoffs and you see the other team has Manning and Addai, they're going to beat you that week.
Yeah.
So those are guys you may want to go get right now.
And you don't always want to look completely ahead, but let's be honest, week 15 and week 16 in the NFL, those are your fantasy playoff weeks, and you've got to look that way if you're a serious contender. There's no question about it.
That's the advantage to being 7-1 or 6-2,
yep.
Actually we're 9 weeks through, depending upon when you start, if you have a bye week in your league or whatever.
Yep.
But you get my point.
Absolutely.
If you're out in front ahead and are definitely going to make the playoffs, now's when you can go raid a team that's on the cusp that has a bad matchup this week, and you can trade them a better player that gives them a better chance to win this week but gives you a better chance to win once the playoffs start.
Sure thing. Now, on ESPN.com, I don't think you were actually a part of this. Some of your fellow fantasy experts over there had a midseason mock draft that was posted. And
I was supposed to be in. I even got the first pick in our draft.
Oh, no way.
And then, of course, you know how it works. I get summoned to go do this and summoned to go that. I'm happy to do it. I mean, it's great. But I didn't get a chance to do that, and I was pretty disappointed because I really wanted to see how that was going to shake out. And I know it just came out now.
Yep.
I haven't had a chance to look, but I know that was something I was all excited to do.
Well, I'm happy to hear that you didn't, because I want to get your thoughts. Now, really, really quick, the top 10, it went Adrian Peterson, number one.
LaDainian, that would have been my choice.
That would have been your choice. LaDainian Tomlinson, number two. Portis, number three.
Sorry. Yeah. But Damian would have scared me at two. He's not healthy.
Yep.
Portis is actually more banged up than you think at three. So I don't think he'll have the same second half as he had first half. Keep going.
Well, and then number four, Brian Westbrook, another guy who's banged up but really produces when he's healthy.
So I love Westbrook.
Yeah.
God. If I had the number one pick, I was looking at Adrian Peterson or Westbrook. They would have been my 1A. Those would have been the two guys I would want up front.
Yep. Now, number five, who in my opinion might be the safest guy, Drew Brees.
I actually think that deep down, I think Manning will be the best guy here in the rest of the year, just based on schedule. They're starting to turn it around. You've seen what he's done the last couple of weeks. He lit up Baltimore. He actually had a really good game against Tennessee. If Dallas Clark doesn't have the ball bounce off his hands a couple of different times, he'd have been fine. Even the Green Bay game, he had a guy run a wrong route, and the pet play gets returned 90 yards for a touchdown. There were some quirky plays there. If you're actually breaking down the film, Manning looks pretty good right now on a guy that I'd be grabbing.
Absolutely. And then number six, Marion Barber of Dallas, who, interesting situation with Tony Romo not there.
And he's banged up, and he's really gotten beat up this year. And I know Felix Jones isn't there, which you were worried about Felix Jones cutting into his time. I don't think I would take Marion Barber in my top 10.
Okay, very interesting. Frank Gore, number seven.
I love Gore. I mean, look, here's the other thing. Frank Gore's got to look at the other guys in the offensive huddle and go, can somebody else in this team be a player other than me? I mean, he's not only a great fantasy player, he's a great football player. People don't realize this about Frank Gore. When he was at Miami, he beats out Clinton Portis. He beats out Willis McGahee. They're all at the U at the same time, and he's the starter. He blows out a knee. Comes back next year, beats them both out again on one knee, and blows out the other knee. And now he's in the league, and he's probably better than either of those guys now. He is a great football player, and he can be on my fantasy team anytime.
Great stuff right there. Number eight, Michael Turner, having an unbelievable year.
You know, when you look at the stats and the breakdown of Turner, he's a bully.
Yep.
Which is fine. You just need to know that, which means this. When he plays a bad team, he goes crazy.
Yep.
When he plays a good team, they shut him down, just
yep.
like a bully. You know, when they're little kids, he's pounding everybody, he's flexing, he's, going crazy. But when the kids are his size or bigger, he cowers. That's what a bully does. Michael Turner, I mean, that's the analogy. He's a kind of a bully fantasy player because his games are either huge against bad teams or they're, kind of mediocre or pedestrian, and that's always against good teams. So he's, to me, more of a matchup play, and I can't have a matchup play in my top 10.
No, I love that analogy. And I remember, because I have Michael Turner on my team, early on, the first 4 or 5 weeks, it seemed like the Falcons rotated. They had a home game against a bad team, and all their offensive players did well. Then they play a road team against a road game against a good team, and you had to really struggle there to start one of those guys. But
it's not an accident. He's going to struggle in all of those games.
Absolutely.
When you have Michael Turner on the against a good team, he's going to struggle. He's going to burn you.
Then we had Steven Jackson went number 9 and Matt Forte number 10.
You know, Steven Jackson, if he's healthy, yeah, that's the question. You're taking a leap of faith there.
Right.
The schedule's easy, and he's great. So if he gets healthy, he could be a steal at 9. But if they shut him down because the season's gone badly or he's still banged up and can't get to 100%, then he could burn you. That's the riskiest pick in the first round. That's the most upside but the most downside.
Interesting. Well, I'd love to go through the entire draft with you because this is great stuff, getting your thoughts on each one of these guys. Probably won't do that, but you know, Randy Moss was 40th. Peyton Manning, who you mentioned, was 43rd.
Yeah, 43rd. Guess what? He'd have been on my team if I was in that draft.
Yeah.
I can tell you exactly what I would have done.
Yep.
I would have started with Adrian Peterson. I would have gotten a stud on the way back at the second round, and I would open the third round with Peyton Manning, and I would have started my team with Manning, Adrian Peterson, stud, and then I would have looked at the other 9 guys in the room and I would have said, come and get me because my team's loaded.
This is great stuff, and it's a great concept, too, to have this midseason draft, because it's a lot of fun to look back at a draft that you had in August and see where things are now. Obviously, Tom Brady would be, you know, in a first round, and we know what happened there, but always interesting to see how things change at this point in the season. Now, I just wanted to ask you, because you have such an interesting background, because you're an attorney, and now you're into you've been in the radio, the sports radio business for a while. If you don't mind, just if you could give us a little bit about your background, how you got to where you are now, doing radio on ESPN and specifically on the fantasy side.
Basically, the bottom line is I was a lawyer, and like most lawyers, I liked it, but I didn't love it. I mean, who gets up out of bed in the morning, their feet hit the floor, and they go, yeah, court, I can't wait. Reading legal briefs, it's just awesome. This is the best thing ever.
I'm guessing you didn't.
No. Yeah. And very few of us do. So I was actually, I was a young kid in my mid-20s, and I was representing a guy named Glenn Beck, who is now all over the place and has his own show. He's all in there, and I was doing some stuff for him. And I did his contract and his partner's contract, and then the guy at the station said, you know, I got this sports show. You got any other clients that can do this? And I'm kind of laughing because I was just at the start of my own practice. Basically, they were my only clients. And my brother kicks me under the table. He goes, yeah, you do. I go, he goes, us? I mean, we'd listen to sports talk radio. We always argued growing up in our bunk beds at the kitchen table. And he said, we can do this. So I went back and I said, yeah, I have somebody for you. And he said, okay, great. And they put us on, and one thing led to another, and somebody at ESPN heard us and said, oh, two brothers arguing sports. I love the concept. And when I had a chance to leave the law and talk sports for a living, that was all I needed to hear. They didn't have to ask me twice, and I sleep better at night and just have a, you know, it's great. This is what I do for a living. I get to talk to you about Randy Moss's second-round potential in a fantasy draft. Who's not happy about that?
That's tremendous, and I applaud that. I mean, that is a great story about being able to just kind of decide, you know what, not thrilled with what I'm doing right now, but I have something else I'd love to do
I'll tell you this. I study and work as hard doing at this as I ever did as being a lawyer, too. People tell you that fantasy is luck or an accident or whatever. They're not paying attention. And, you know, you got to break down the stats. You got to look at the matchups. You got to check out philosophies. And that's what we try to do at ESPN, to help people out. And hopefully they like it. Hopefully they'll come back. And hopefully we'll get them some wins.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hearing your thoughts over the last 15, 20 minutes or so, you can tell you do your homework. And I encourage everyone to check out the chat on Fridays at 3 o'clock and Fantasy Football Now as well. Eric Casilius from ESPN.com, much appreciated. Appreciate your thoughts and your insight. And we'll talk to you again down the road.
Thank you very much for having me. Really was an honor to be on the show. I appreciate you having me.
I appreciate it. And good luck with the rest of your team the rest of the year.
Thanks, you too.
All righty. Eric Casilius of ESPN Radio, ESPN.com, one of their fantasy football experts. Great insight from him. How about his passion? He's a passionate guy, and he enjoys doing this, and a great story as well. So we appreciate having him on, and maybe we'll get his thoughts again down the road as this season goes on. This is the Fantasy Lowdown web radio at Patriots.com and 508-543-7482. We'd love to hear from you. We have a few more emailers to get to. Get your thoughts, and we'll be right back after this.
Happy birthday, Steve. 29.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. Entering week number 10 on the NFL slate. And week number 10 on the NFL slate begins in less than 4 hours now. Exciting to have Thursday night football. We got a game every single week on Thursdays from here on in. Three games in 3 weeks from now on Thanksgiving Day. Adds a new wrinkle, a new twist to the fantasy football decision-making, as we talked about at the beginning of the show. On the other hand, this is the last week of bye weeks, so you don't have to worry about that down the stretch. Let's get to some emails here. Hey, Brian, haven't emailed in this year. This, by the way, is from Neil from Winnipeg, Manitoba. Haven't emailed in this year, but I still have taken some advice, which has worked out so far, so thanks. Really, Neil? My advice has worked. You've got to be one of the few. My question, I have a trade offered to me. Would you accept? I trade Maurice Jones-Drew, who has been disgustingly inconsistent. That's Neil's words, not mine. In return, I get Selvin Young from running Selvin Young, Denver running back, who's currently hurt but will return soon, and they just put two running backs on IR. Also, Wes Welker from the Patriots and Julius Jones from Seattle. My other running backs are Ernest Graham of Tampa Bay and Sammy Morris of New England. I can start two running backs in my league. Thanks for the help. Keep up the good work. Okay, so let's get to this trade. Maurice Jones-Drew for Selvin Young, Wes Welker, and Julius Jones. I say make the trade. And here's why. As you said, Maurice Jones-Drew has been inconsistent. Well, so has Julius Jones. Wes Welker has, you know, made catches and has some yards, but not a lot of touchdowns. And Selvin Young, you know, he's hurt, but he's kind of in the mix. In other words, you'd be getting three guys, none of whom you can completely rely on, but there is some upside. And Maurice Jones-Drew is just one guy who you can't completely rely on, but there is some upside. You know, the running backs who you have, Ernest Graham, who's a good guy to have on your team, and he can play, though, of course, he has the bye this week. And Sammy Morris, who no indications yet that he's coming back anytime soon. You could use the help at running back. And I just think that getting two guys, Selvin Young and Julius Jones, who are in the mix, could help you out. Maurice Jones-Drew, good fantasy player. I feel like I would rely on him more weeks than not. But if you can get Wes Welker, who, if you heard Eric Casilius just a little while ago on the show, is very high on the Patriots' offense down the stretch, based in part on their schedule and on Matt Castle, his maturity, you might do well by having Wes Welker. Not huge on Selvin Young. I know they've put guys on IR, but it looks like Ryan Terrain could be the guy coming up. And Julius Jones has a good week, then a bad week. I'd probably make the trade. I'd lean towards making the trade. You know, tough to give up a guy like Maurice Jones-Drew, who has a lot of upside, more upside than the other guys. But I just think when you'd be giving yourself some pretty good options. Wes Welker is a guy who you could plug in at wide receiver every week and feel pretty good about it. And then I think between Julius Jones, Ernest Graham, Selvin Young, Sammy Morris, you might luck out and get a couple guys. So good luck there, Neil. Please let us know next week if you end up pulling the trigger on that trade. Be very, very curious to know. Next email is from Paul. Hey, Brian, nearly at playoff stage now. In my first league, I'm tops at 6-3, but I'm facing the second and then the third teams over the next 2 weeks and have made big changes to both teams. Very interesting. So you got some big weeks ahead. So for his 8-team keeper league, his quarterbacks, Cutler, Flacco, and Brady, DeLome is available, and so is Trent Edwards and David Garrard. Cutler is on the downswing. Really, what has happened there? The first couple weeks, it looked like Denver's offense, specifically Jay Cutler, would be on track to have maybe the best fantasy year of any QB. DeLome's available, Trent Edwards, David Garrard. You know, I still think Jay Cutler is going to even himself out and be better. And don't forget about Joe Flacco. I wouldn't make a change there, Neil, Paul. Stick with who you got. Running back, Brandon Jacobs, Chris Johnson, Moraine. You probably mean Ryan Terrain, Moeldy Moore, and Darren Sproles. Will Sproles get many return yards, and is Willie Parker a better option than Moore? Well, for this week, looks like Moeldy Moore is a better Parker than better option than Willie Parker. But boy, with Brandon Jacobs, Chris Johnson, Terrain, and Moeldy Moore, you are all set. And consider Ryan Terrain for tonight. You know, you consider him. If you only use two running backs, you probably want to stick with Brandon Jacobs and Chris Johnson. But think about Ryan Terrain and think about Moeldy Moore as well. But like I said, hard to sit Jacobs and Chris Johnson. Wide receivers, Moss, Welker, Fitzgerald, and DeSean Jackson. You got your top three right there, Moss, Welker, and Fitzgerald. Don't worry too much about DeSean Jackson, but a good one to keep in mind. Tight ends, none. I have a waiver claim on Owen Daniels. Scheffler and Boss are also available in free agency. Well, I hope you get Owen Daniels. He would be the guy. Definitely stick with him. Kevin Boss, I like ahead of Tony Scheffler right now. Good tight end for the Giants. Kicker Gostkowski, defense Panthers, you've got nothing to worry about there. Real quick, my other team, I was bottom two with Eric in his league, but have now jumped up to eighth after some risky changes. Brought in Flacco ahead of Castle and Favre, and the Atlanta D ahead of the Skins D. Decent moves there. I like Matt Castle, but Castle, Flacco, hard to say. Here's my playoff chasing team. Quarterbacks, Flacco, Favre, Castle, and Brady Quinn. You're kind of stacked there, and looks like Flacco's your starter. Running backs, Moeldy Moore, Jonathan Stewart, Hightower, Sproles, Terrain, and Falk. Jonathan Stewart might be limited this week. I like Hightower a lot. I like Moeldy Moore as long as Willie Parker's out. Wide receivers, Wayne, Moss, Coles, Avery. Stick with Wayne and Moss. Tight ends, Daniels, kicker Kostowski, defense Texans. There were no good defenses available this week, so I had to go for Houston. The running backs are the hardest part of this team for me, as I will probably go for Favre over my other QBs, although Quinn is interesting. He is interesting, but I'd say he'd be your fourth out of those four right now. Thanks, Brian. Tuesday 18th, get to the PFW studio early, and you can have part of the gift that I'm sending you for my 18th birthday. Interesting. I'll keep that one in mind. Dan, do you know anything about that?
I have no idea.
Oh, well, Tuesday the 18th. Let's 2 weeks from now. Let's keep that in mind, courtesy of Paul. We do have Dan Tugender here in studio. What a special
Hello, lecture. Brian.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great.
That's good. That's good. What are your thoughts? We were in the locker room today. I think I saw Sammy Morris out of the corner of my eye, but wasn't on the practice field. So this running back situation of the Patriots just keeps on confounding us.
Yeah, and with Lamont Jordan not practicing today, I mean, who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? You just don't know. And that's what Eric Kasilius just told us. You just don't know. And his lesson, don't be afraid to say you don't know, Dan. Don't be afraid.
I don't know.
You don't know, and you're not afraid to say so. Hey, Dan, real quick, one more email that we have here. This is from Matt. How's the world of fantasy football treating you these days? I'll get right into it with my Week 10 questions. I'm struggling to decide who to start at QB this week, especially with some of the matchups. I've got Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Trent Edwards, and David Garrard. Okay, here's what he says. Normally, I'd go with Rodgers, as he's been playing pretty well all year, although he's had a couple of weeks where he's either had a lot of yards and few TDs, or a couple TDs and not many yards. Matt Ryan's been pretty solid all year long, and normally I would sit David Garrard without thinking twice, but the Jags are playing the Lions this week. Yeah. Very good point. You've got to consider any offensive player going up against the Lions. As far as Trent Edwards is concerned, he hasn't been playing too well lately, but given the fact that the guy I usually start plays crummy while the guy I sit goes off, I should play him and take the hit just to help out the Pats. What do you think? Well, you know, you don't really want to fall into the trap of thinking that way, but you do have a tough decision there. Aaron Rodgers with Green Bay. Green Bay goes up against Minnesota. Tough matchup. Matt Ryan, Atlanta, going up against New Orleans, a defense you can score against. Don't really like Trent Edwards or the Buffalo offense against the Patriots this week. Garrard against Detroit. What do you think, Dan? Who would you go with there?
Well, I got David Garrard on my fantasy team, and there was no question that he was going to be my starter this week. He just playing that Detroit Lions team. You can't pass up on that.
Hard to pass up on that. And when you've got a couple of decisions that are all sort of in the same mix, you know, it's a tough one to go with. I'd put Trent Edwards fourth. I'm going to start right there. And, you know, all things being equal, like Matt said, Garrard isn't the guy I'd feel comfortable starting. I like what Matt Ryan's doing and Aaron Rodgers as well. But, you know, you got to consider Garrard. I'd probably go Garrard, Rodgers, Ryan. And the only reason I put Ryan third there is, you know, he's had a couple of good weeks, but, you know, rookie quarterback.
You'd
expect him at some point to have a and Aaron Rodgers, you know, I think that's a quarterback who is virtually a must start. But, whew, Garrard against the Lions, it's very enticing. So, Matt, that's a tough question right there. I think we both would lean toward Garrard, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers, tough to pass up, tough to pass up. My other question for the week is at the running back spot. I've got Marshawn Lynch, Ryan Grant, Moeldy Moore, and Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, who's been good for a TD when he plays to fill one spot. I've been using one of my receivers to fill the flex spot because I've got Larry Fitzgerald, Steve Smith of the Panthers, and Dwayne Bowe. The Patriots have been pretty solid against the run this year, so I'm unsure about Lynch, but Ryan Grant has only had one double-digit week, according to ESPN.com, so as you can see, I'm torn. Well, here's what I would say. Those four again, Marshawn Lynch, Ryan Grant, Moeldy Moore, and Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. I got to be honest, love Moeldy Moore. And it looks like Willie Parker is at least going to be limited again. They face Indianapolis. You can run against them. I don't like Marshawn Lynch, and here's why. He hasn't been doing all that great this year. He doesn't have a 100-yard game yet. The New England Patriots, and I looked this up yesterday, they have allowed only one running back all year to reach the end zone. And that guy did it four times, as you well know, Dan, Ronnie Brown.
Ronnie Brown.
No other running back has scored against the Patriots. That doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not saying the Patriots' run defense or their defense as a whole is the best in the league, but only one guy through 9 weeks has scored a rushing touchdown against them. There's got to be something to that, and I think they're going to shut down Lynch this week.
Yeah, I mean, you would expect the Bills, with the Patriots' secondary hurting a little bit, you'd expect them to air it out a little bit more than on the ground, and Marshawn Lynch isn't having a great year, and that stat you just threw out there with the Patriots not allowing a rusher other than Ronnie Brown to reach the end zone doesn't sound like a big week for Marshawn.
Now, having said that, he'll probably score three times, right. and that's the way it works. But if I had to rank those four right there, Matt, I'm going Moeldy Moore first. I got to be honest with you. I'm giving Ryan Grant the credit. He's, you know, he's still a capable back, and he's coming off a good week. You know, they play Green Bay. I'm sorry, they play Minnesota. It's a tough one. I don't really like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis fantasy wise just yet. He scores a few touchdowns here and there. I just don't think you can rely on him being your every down back.
Yeah, I would say Mueldy definitely. With Willie Parker still hurting a little bit, Ben Roethlisberger possibly out, relying on Byron Leftwich back there. Probably want to run the ball a little bit against the Colts.
Yep, monitor that Willie Parker situation. If it turns out Willie Parker, certainly if he isn't playing, I like what Mueldy Moore has done in his absence. Thanks, Matt, and thanks to all our emailers, webradio@patriots.com. You can email us. We're wrapping up the show in a bit, but feel free to email us at all during the week. The show comes your way 4 to 5 on Thursdays. We'll take your emails at any point during the week and then get to them when the show comes up. Big decisions you've got on your team for this week, Dan?
I'm feeling great about my team. I have, I believe, 7 of my 8 starters on offense going against some pretty poor defensive teams. Detroit,
yep.
Denver, Seattle, Kansas City. So I'm looking for a big week out of my
big
guys.
Big week for you, yeah. You know what, on one of my teams where we start 2 quarterbacks, which is a very tough one, and I've had Drew Brees all year, which has been great.
Solid.
And then I've had to mix and match a little bit. The guy I've been riding with the last couple weeks has been Jeff Garcia. And then last week with Drew Brees down, believe it or not, and this is how deep the league is, I picked up Ryan Fitzpatrick. He turned out good for me. He threw 2 touchdown passes to Chad Johnson, but I was very nervous. So I had Garcia and Fitzpatrick, and I ended up having a great week. Well, now I've got both Fitzpatrick and Garcia
on buys.
On buys. Yep. I've got Breeze. I picked up Sean Hill, and I had, unless I made a trade, I'm still going to try to look at a few trades because that might be the best way to get another quarterback. But I like the Sean Hill matchup this week. They're playing Arizona. I think San Fran's going to upset Arizona this week, and I think Sean Hill is going to have a productive game. 4 or 5 touchdowns, no, but I think he could throw 2 touchdowns, and I think the Niners. We'll see if the Niners get a little fired up about the Mike Singletary.
Yeah, but this is the same team that gave up 6 touchdown passes to Brett Favre a few weeks back. So
absolutely.
They're capable of anything happening.
They are. Once again, the bye weeks this week are Cincinnati, Dallas, Tampa Bay, and Washington. Mercifully, this is the last week of byes. We'll see if Tony Romo comes back next week. Maybe Jason Campbell can recover from that poor outing against Pittsburgh that he had. So we won't have to worry about byes starting next week, which is great. And as I said, Thursday night games, we're just a couple hours away from Cleveland-Denver. A lot of intrigue because this is the Brady Quinn era. Just real quick, Dan, have you thought about Brady Quinn and what he might be able to do right off the bat fantasy-wise?
Not really.
Yeah,
not really. I'm too worried about my own.
You're worried about your own. And let's be honest, you got to be selfish when you're a fantasy guy.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't consider you to be a selfish guy in general, Dan. I think I know you well enough, but I don't mind that.
Below, I'm so thankful you had the show today. I never would have remembered that I had to set my fantasy team.
There you go.
Prior to tonight's game,
set your fantasy team, everybody. Cleveland, Denver. If you have anyone on those two teams, you've got about 3 hours, and it's it's not just I've got a guy in that team. I got to get him in my lineup. You've got to decide right now if you want to have him on your bench. If you have let's say Derek Anderson's your quarterback and you're not you don't check your team every week, maybe you just wait till Friday, well, you better do something about that right now. So get to a computer, check your fantasy team, and adjust accordingly. Dan, thanks for coming
Thank
on
you,
once
B-Low.
Again. We'll catch up with you again next week. This is the Fantasy Lowdown, and we're here every Thursday from 4 to 5 on Patriots.com radio, taking your thoughts, who to start, who to sit. Keep in mind, also on Patriots Today, the Fantasy Lowdown segment airs every Thursday, so check out Patriots Today today. Game days, the Patriots Today game day blog on Patriots.com. Get all the insight you need from live from the stadium. We'd be happy to give you the insight from the games. Our special thanks to Eric Casilius from ESPN.com, ESPN Radio. He's the host of the Fantasy Football Now and also a chat every Friday at 3 o'clock. He had great stuff, and it was great to hear a little bit about his background and how he came to be a fantasy football and football radio host after being an attorney for so many years. So our thanks to him. We will be back next week here on the Fantasy Lowdown. Good luck to you in Fantasy Week number 10. We'll catch you next week.